Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode lucky 19 of the Nerdbench Podcast. Yes. Oh, this is good. This is a good episode. I've been looking forward to this. But before we get started, I want to poll you guys. What should we do? First of all, my name's Michael Quinn. Also, a wrestler name is Stephen Person, in case you know you like that stuff. My guest today, my lovely eclectic group, once again, RJ's out on assignment. To the farthest of my right, she's an actress, improv actress, leader of a haunted house that's going on right now, the Chrysler Mansion in Staten Island, New York. Great time if you want to go check it out. Google that. Staten Island Haunted House, The Haunt, whatever you want to go for, it'll come up. Ladies and gentlemen, Susie.
Woo, hello.
And to her right, he is the president of One Division Pro Wrestling. He's wearing a very good Funko Pop of Conan O'Brien from Comic-Con, which we will be at. Next episode is going to be Comic-Con, which we're going to lead into the next topic. Ladies and gentlemen, he is a wrestler extraordinaire. He's a drummer of African descent and beautiful design. Ladies and gentlemen, my good friend, Prince Atiba.
Woo!
Now, I'm trying to debate, because the holidays are coming up. It's going to be harder to do this. You know, the podcast is our first season, and every season has to have an end, right? So I'm trying to think about it, because it's going to be hard, especially my schedule, you guys' schedule and everything. Like, we're not billionaires here. We're not, like, you know.
Speak for yourself.
You're rich in love.
Why are you hiring?
Exactly. Also, happy Jewish New Year, which you call, Susie?
Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, you know, Rosh Hashanah. So it's
what year is it?
5875, I think.
She thinks. She doesn't worry about it.
Okay, we say
it's a number.
Jewish, yeah, okay? Yeah. But 5875, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, awesome. Correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm sorry. Hashem.
Yeah, Hashem. Oh, damn, I lost my train of thought now. Because of that, I just threw myself off. But yeah, so anyway, we're not too sure what we're going to do. Because, I mean, I don't want to have people come here during the holiday season. And, you know, like, just like, oh, well, you know, family's coming over, blah, blah, blah. Especially around Thanksgiving, it's going to be tough. Especially Halloween coming up. And then people do shopping. And then, you know, so I don't want to bother people with this. So I'm thinking, because the next episode would fall technically on the 17th. Guess what day that is?
What day is the 17th?
The first day of Comic-Con.
Oh, what? Yeah.
Yeah, it's close, man. It's close. We got our passes. So what we're going to do...
And you're going to do the show from there, right?
Well, that's the thing. I'm going to do a live show from Comic-Con, most likely. So then I'm going to do, like, you know, interviews. I'm going to take people's information from, what's it called, from costumes, because I love cosplay. I'm not somebody who goes out there and has a great idea of what to do with foam and everything, but I think I can... I think my costumes alone have my wife back there. Hi, Gabby.
Hello.
Our 3-year anniversary was yesterday, by the way. Just
happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary. Yeah. They are the cutest couple in the world.
She didn't kick me out yet, so. So, yeah, the whole point. Not yet. Someone's got to feed those cats, and it's not me, so. But the thing is that, like, we were talking about it, and it was like, you know, like, should it be the last episode for this season? And then we start off in January, you know? So it's something that we're kind of contemplating right now, but we will definitely be at Comic-Con. Yeah. Our next episode, I'm going to be at Comic-Con. I may not do the week of, because, like, I usually try and do this on a Wednesday, Thursday. Today's Wednesday, the 2nd, here in New York. So it's kind of rough. But I could maybe go to Comic-Con, come here, do an episode, but it's kind of fugazi. You know,
like,
what I mean?
About what you saw and what
exactly. I want to do. I'm not going to do in the panels because I don't want to record at the panels.
Yes.
So it's kind of a hit and miss with that. And then I just feel like going around to Comic-Con, getting people's information about, you know, cosplay, who they are, all that other stuff. I'll have the microphone like I do with the front row section. If you're checking out our front row section, we got some more interviews coming up down the line. We just had Max Capacity on at a recent show. And then we got a... Boss Lady Bella coming on.
We
did one with her, and then we did one with Super Nitro. Yeah. I know, I couldn't make it. I was so mad. And then we did Super Nitro as well. Uh-huh. So we did an episode with Super Nitro. So those always come out on our YouTube page. And if you're listening to this right now, go to our YouTube page, Nerd Badge Podcast. We have a lot of fun things that are videos on there, especially this. So that's something that is really good for you guys to check out. It's a lot of different content on the YouTube page, on the TikTok page, all that good stuff. Definitely give us a check. So, yeah, so I'm kind of contemplating it. I'm probably going to put it up in the next, like, couple of days, whether or not it will be the season finale, and then we'll just kick back up in January. I'll have a better schedule, because this was kind of off the cuff.
Yeah, and if you do a season finale, Comic-Con's a good way to
end it. That's what I'm thinking, like, maybe from now on every year, Comic-Con's, like, the last one.
Oh, that's
And then I could, the first episode, I could just do something silly, like, you know, like, what's it coming out this year? I'll get a list. We could do a game show, which we haven't done since, like, episode 4. Definitely check out that episode. It's a really great episode.
The dating show was really fun, too.
That's the dating game. I want to do more games like that. I want to do Family Feud. I got so many games. I want to do the Nerdy Feud.
Can I shave my head and be Steve Harvey?
Yes. I need a host. Because here's the thing. Like, I'm thinking about maybe I should be the host. You know what I mean? Like, so.
We're paint your face.
Exactly. Tell me right now, man. What's going on? How's your mom doing?
Look for Robert Downey's makeup artist for Tropic Thunder.
Yes.
It's a good movie, by the way. Awesome. I am Queen Crazy Answers, so I should definitely be on the show.
I might do an actual, like, I'm going to try and see if I can get into some bars around here on Staten Island, looking at you. What's it called? Hop Shop, Island Social, a couple places.
Paradise Island, for you.
Yeah, a couple of places. We might do a little nerdy trivia series, you know? Like, I want to take this show a little bit more on the road outside the studio, but still come to the studio, which is always grateful. I'm always grateful for it because they really do take care of us. They definitely let us, like, inside this beautiful studio, and we're one of their marquee podcasts right now, so it's really, really awesome. What else? So, yeah, that's an idea I'm kind of floating around right now. So we'll see what happens with that. So I do want to get into our main topic, which is going to be the Batman Christian Bale movies.
Yes.
The
Nolan trilogy.
The Nolan trilogy, as most of you know it.
The best set of Batman movies.
Yep.
Exactly. These movies have.
Finally.
Exactly. Have just iconic scenes, iconic characters, iconic plots. Each one is just better. It's one of those movies, like, I do want to, maybe next season we'll do it, but I want to do, like, sequels, you know? Like,
yes.
I talked about it before in the show. I never really kind of actually did it, but, like, I know we talked about it before the show where we're going to do, like, you know, what's better than the other episodes, you know? So,
yes.
Like, you know, like, is the second one, like, Terminator 2 is better than Terminator 1, stuff like that.
Top three sequels are T2, Dark Knight, and Empire Strikes Back,
exactly.
Those
are the three where it's, like, the first trilogy, the 4, 5, and 6 were...
But he outdid the original.
Yeah, and we never really even touched on Star Wars the whole entire time.
Never?
We've never done an episode on Star Wars. So we've always had more fun just, like, kind of BSing the beginning of the season.
Yes.
And then I became a little bit more structured. I kind of wrote out. I don't want to say I wrote out episodes because that's exactly what I didn't want to do with this. I wanted to more or less have the lines of, like, listen, we're just going to BS with each other.
Yes.
But at the same time, like, I had an idea of what the BS was going to be. And, like, I funneled it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, let's get right into the hot topic of this, the Nolan trilogy.
The Bat.
So, the first one, Batman Begins. It's a classic take over a really good story, Batman Year One.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what
that's
it was.
Right.
It's off of Batman Year One, and it's a great novel. If you get a chance, go out to your local comic book store. Go just find something. Like, even pick up anything. Ask the guy behind the counter, like, hey, what would you recommend somebody who watches this? You know, they have, like, basically a down pack now. Since 2008, the Marvel movies have kind of taken over.
Yeah.
Superman came out, what, 2007?
Which one? Returns?
Man of Steel.
Oh, Man of Steel was 2012 or 2013.
Yeah, 2013. So that's kind of, like, in the nest of, like, you know, the whole universe movies and everything. And you could actually go back and, like, ask people, like, hey, what was influenced by the series? Like, you know, what was by the DCU, the MCU? And, like, they'll give you a plethora worth of stuff that should be in. If you ask them, like, hey, listen, give me something that I would enjoy as a casual Marvel fan. I think there's a lot of stuff that's out there.
That's
so much stuff that's out there. Like, they never even touched on Civil War II, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that's what Captain Marvel.
Yeah, Captain Marvel, when Rhodey actually dies. So, like, that's a great story. She-Hulk dies. Like, it's... So, go out to your local comic book store. Definitely read some stuff. Read some novels. They have it in hardback. If you want to just grab something and go, it's all pictures. Great stuff.
Yes.
With Batman Year One, it's... The story itself on the novel is Batman's just really kind of, like, screwing up all over the place. He's finding his niche. There you go. And it's, like, one of those few things where Batman kind of, like, you see him as a human more than a superhero. It's his first year. So
freshman year.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is. So there is a playoff of that in the Batman, the newest one with what's his name? Patterson.
Robert Patterson.
I actually haven't seen that one.
Yeah.
You haven't?
It's really good.
Worth a watch?
Penguin show's good, too.
Yeah.
I just queued that on, like, Netflix.
You have to watch a movie. You have to watch the movie first. Watch the movie first. But the whole thing is that all these movies have one common theme, and that's something I wanted to kind of walk into, was the underbelly crime element of Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
And Batman Begins does a really good job of showing that, because it's very street level.
It's
like gritty. It's
the mob.
Exactly. And there's no other. A lot of the Christopher Nolan movies are just street level Batman. Mm-hmm. He's not fighting in boom tubes. He's not with the Justice League.
There's no Mr. Freeze. No supernatural. Exactly. Super duper high tech.
We love
stuff.
You, Arnold.
Exactly. So the whole point is that Christopher Nolan wanted it to just be the Batman series. He never brought in Robin, which we'll talk about later on. And there's one glaring hole that I talk about every time I talk about this movie that people don't realize. We'll talk about the end. It'll come back later, okay? So let's get into it. Batman Begins starts with his parents dying. It shows the classic bang, bang, bang. Mom and dad are dead.
Pearls.
He's at the funeral with everybody. And this plays into the later movies where he goes, "You're just a man who gave a small child a coat." because it shows a young Bruce Wayne being taken care of by a then officer. Officer Gordon.
Yeah, he wasn't even lieutenant yet.
Yeah, he wasn't lieutenant yet. So he was I don't think he was a sergeant. I think he was like a regular police
officer. No, I think he was just an officer.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he gradually progresses.
He gradually progresses, which is a great comic book arc right there, because you know the character itself, who he is, what he becomes, but you see that level, and you see the sacrifices that he makes, which we'll get into later. So now you have, he gets older and everything, and you basically see Gotham overran. It sets up the crime. It sets up the grittiness. Mm-hmm. It sets up Gotham as its own beating heart. And it's just infected. That's what they really kind of illustrate. And it's beautiful because it's just the shots, the cinematography, the sets. It's a great movie to watch just for that element alone, because you feel like you're in Gotham.
All the Batmans do have that in common, though, where like the effects and the graphics, and they make Gotham look almost like, I mean, it is a fictional city, but like it's on a different planet.
Exactly, yeah. And the thing is that, like, I always love the contrast between, again, we're going off topic, but the whole contrast between Gotham and Metropolis. Metropolis is like, even in its own name, it has like this beautiful, elegant ring to it, rather than Gotham. It's kind of like grimy. Like, I always thought of Metropolis was New York and Gotham was Chicago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I heard someone say Metropolis is New York in the day, Gotham's New York at night.
Well, apparently right now, if you're paying attention to the local current events out here in New York, you want to hit us what you said before?
We need a Batman. We're turning to Gotham with the corruption and crime.
Exactly.
We got our own supervision villain, the Diddler. No.
Exactly. Diddle me this, Batman.
He didn't do it, did he?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
He's robbing baby oil plants. Yeah. That's his origin. He's going to fall into a vat of
baby oil.
And how about that tunnel, huh?
Oh, that's the tunnel. That's right.
You have to be so rich to have like this hidden underground tunnel. And why?
Because every villain has an underground tunnel, you know what I mean?
Like Penguin had the sewers.
It's like little penguins walking around with rockets on their back. We talked about that in the last episode. That's a little Marvel throwback. What were they talking about? Let's go find out. Yeah, check out episode number 18.
I wonder if Penguin ever ran into the Ninja Turtles. That's what I have to say.
Ooh. They did do a Batman TMNT crossover in the cartoon.
Yeah. They did?
Yeah, it was actually really good. Yeah,
animated movie.
It was really good. And Batman beat the living crap out of Shredder.
That was
a great fight, yeah. That's good.
So, back to beginnings, right? So now, Batman is understanding, what was it? He goes after Falcone because Joe Chill. So Joe Chill, they have the trial of Joe Chill, and Batman's like, I'm going to kill him. Mm-hmm. So, what was it that stopped him?
Because he had the gun, right?
It
wasn't his girl that stabbed him?
No. It was one of, somebody else shot Joe Chill first.
Oh.
Yeah, someone shot Joe Chill first. And then he was like, I think Alfred was like, what are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And then he starts going after the Falcones and he starts making a Batman persona. It's very D-level. And he starts building on it and building on it. He starts building the technology. He's coming out of the cave of Wayne Manor. Mm-hmm. And Wayne Manor's just kind of like ran down and like beaten up. And it's not like the Wayne Manor that we know of. Mm-hmm. So now Batman is kind of like building himself up, and then he starts chasing Falcone down for the drugs. Because this is like the most iconic scene from this movie. Is when did this come out again?
2005.
Yeah. So this is before the Batman era, the Iron Man era. So, so now you have Batman, basically, he comes up, he grabs one of the guys, and you see him, like, you know, he's, like, testing all this, like, stuff out. He's, like, you know, he was at first, like, a black ninja.
Yeah, that's right. He doesn't even have a suit yet.
He doesn't have a suit yet. It's like, the build up to it. And then, finally, when he becomes Batman, he has the whole cowl, the everything. Mm-hmm. But he had, like, the voice modulator, which is the number one critic. Critics like kind of rave about, not rave about, but kind of like run down a lot, is the fact that it sounded like dog, like dog poop. Because you're like, blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah. Where are the drugs going?
Yeah, but that's where he goes. He's like, where are the drugs? Where are the drugs?
Swear to me.
Swear to me. Swear to me.
But I do have to say, like, the Batmans, like Christian Bale, would do the voice on their own. I mean, he is also a method actor.
Yeah.
But, like, they must go through so much, like, so many lozenges.
Yes, and tea.
So much, like, Chloracept or whatever that's called. Yeah, like, can you imagine?
The
stuff
he used at the house, yeah. That's, I'm sorry, but, like, he was, like, but the best part is, like, towards the later than parts of the movies, you'll see the voice kind of change a little bit. Okay. And again, we're not here trying to ruin anything. We're just trying to give you guys, like, a backstory about what a bunch of nerds think about these movies, because they are great movies.
Pete Holmes will ruin it for you if you watch his Batman sketch.
Yeah, I know. Pete Holmes is funny as hell. Watch that. But, I was
I mean, or Ben Affleck. I'm sorry, but that's the second time they made him a
Affleck actually had a machine doing it, though, so it made sense a little.
Well, he can't do it on his own, but that's the second time he played a superhero. Remember, he played in, like, the purple suit? What
was
he? Daredevil?
He was Daredevil.
Daredevil, kill me.
That was red. Daredevil's red.
Whatever. I might be colorblind.
He's not the Phantom.
Point is.
Wow, the Phantom.
He's not freaking, what's his name, from Titanic.
Who played that?
Billy Zane.
Oh, yeah.
Billy Zane, there you go. Billy Zane playing him, yeah.
Which, by the way, they want to come up with a Titanic 2, and I don't know how I feel about
that. Which gave Rey Mysterio a nice Halloween Havoc costume.
Yeah, exactly. Dominic used it.
That's the only legacy that's the only thing from that legacy that movie left behind.
That was a good set of movies, though. I'm sorry. Billy Zane was awesome.
Billy Zane is awesome. Billy Zane looks so evil, like, naturally.
So, going back.
Nice face, Billy Zane.
Yes, yeah. Good job having a face, bro. Good job. So, what's going on? Funny first story, too, is you know what Billy Zane's first movie was?
What?
Back to the Future. He was one of Biff's gangs.
Get out of here. Really? Get out of here. Yep, that's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, he's in the 50s scene. You see him, like, hey, bouncing around.
And
like,
he's not credited or anything? Or
he is. He's credited. I just remember, it's like, because he's in the other ones, too, I think. And then he was just like, wait, what? It's like, wait, I know that guy. So, so now Batman is basically going after Falcone now, and then he gets stopped. I forgot exactly what stops him. Somebody just basically goes, like, don't kill this guy, because then you're going to be like, I think it's Lucius Fox. I think that's who it is. So Morgan Freeman plays Lucius Fox, who has always been Batman's tech guy. Mm-hmm. So it's more or less in the comics.
It's the first time he's been in a movie, too, that character.
It was the first time the character really popped up. He was always in the comics as, like, a gadget guy for Batman. He
wasn't even in the animated series.
Yeah, he wasn't in the animated series, because the animated series kind of focused on Batman a lot. So
I want to go back to Lucius for a second. Didn't he just recently RIP? I am right, right?
No.
No?
No, no. Don't say it about Morgan Freeman.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry, Morgan.
God,
I'm so sorry.
Die.
Somebody did a voice actor, a very famous voice
James
actor.
James Earl Jones?
How did you... Susie, how did you get
Morgan Freeman, you know are amazing. I'm so sorry.
We're sorry, Morgan.
Sorry. I want her to apologize to my friends. I
am not dead.
I am going to get the penguins after you.
I will never forget the Yellow Page commercials.
Morgan Freeman, I'm here to read the phone book.
Doesn't
Alabaster,
he get a new...
Alabaster, Aloysius.
He get a new freckle every time we're at
South Park? Yes. So now Lucius Smythe, I don't know why. Lucius Fox basically helps out Batman. They start working out together, some plans to do stuff, and then Batman starts going off on being Batman. Now he's actually Batman. So we come into our main villain of the show, our secondary villain of the show. I'm sorry, I skipped over a lot of stuff. I apologize.
Oh, you skipped over his League of Shadows?
Yeah, League of Shadows with Deckard. Deckard is basically like, he's telling like, oh, I'm just a person who came here. Like, listen, I'm part of the League of Shadows. Come work with us. We'll train you. And that's what he goes out to the Far East to go train and be a martial artist and all this other stuff in his temple. But then he finds out that the temple is basically filled with a bunch of jerk-offs. Yes. And they're like, yeah, Gotham is basically, and I love the fact that they show Gotham as like an infected city, crime ridden, and then he basically treated like a dog that's on his last leg. Mm-hmm. And they go, listen, we're just gonna kill Gotham. Like, that's what they say. So
Because they were around for like centuries. Didn't they burn London and sacked Rome and all this other stuff?
How dare you attack the queen?
They basically destroy all of everything.
Any corrupt city, basically.
Any corrupt city where they feel like it's going to spread to the world, where good and light is going to be ruined. They go out and basically ruin it. And they take everything out so it's no impression on the world going forward. Now, Batman, Bruce Wayne, he goes, I'm not really down with this. And he basically sets fire to the place. Mm-hmm. So that whole Batman thing right off the bat at the beginning of the movie about not killing, you don't die for fire, but it'll screw you up. So
I'll burn you really good. Exactly. I won't kill you.
So now Batman basically, he pulls out the card. Mm-hmm. And then he goes, he leaves, blah, blah, blah. We're back into the current times where mm-hmm. it's Batman basically doing all this stuff. And he sees the card. He's like, what the hell are you doing here? He's like, yeah, see that guy you killed? That wasn't Ra's al Ghul. I'm Ra's al Ghul.
Yes. Oops.
Yeah. So now but that's later on in the movie. So anyway, we have the Scarecrow, Ichabod Crane. Ichabod Crane is
buried in Staten Island, just for the record.
Yes, no, it's Jonathan Crane.
Jonathan Crane, yes. Sorry, yeah. Yeah, Ichabod's but he's based on, I say
Ichabod, based off, you right. are dead
he's
and headless.
He's based on Ichabod Crane.
Yes, he is.
Headless horseman. Yep. Yeah.
Yep. Uh-huh.
So now he has a fear toxin. People don't know. Scarecrow actually is a very good chemist. He's a therapist. He basically makes all these gas bombs, and mm-hmm. he makes people hallucinate. Their worst fear. That's what it does. So he basically is now studying Falcone, who's in jail, mm-hmm. and it sets him up beautifully. I think it's a beautiful intro for a character. He goes, oh, yeah, it's like I just put on the mask to kind of intimidate them, but it doesn't really do anything. They sprays him with the toxin and then sends him to Arkham. Because you find out later on that he's actually working with the League of Shadows, so he claims. So now Batman is basically trying to chase down what's going on with the crime wave, and he runs into Scarecrow. Scarecrow hits him. Alfred and Lucius basically save him, and he makes an antidote. He makes an antidote for the, what's it called, which comes into play later on.
Yes.
Now, Batman is trying to run around, trying to solve all these, what's going on with Ichabod Crane, what's he going after, blah, blah, blah. Now, this is where it gets complicated, because you have Rachel. So, what's her name?
Played by...
The sister of...
Katie Holmes.
Katie Holmes, there you go. Yeah, Katie Holmes. Wrong one, I know. We're going to get to that.
I just screwed up.
So Katie Holmes is now his love interest, and Bruce is playing the playboy, you know? And he has a thing for Rachel. They're old school friends, and, you know, they grew up together.
She knew him when he fell into the cave when they were kids.
Exactly, and they do the flashback of the cave, and she's there for him at the funeral. So now Bruce is kind of in an impasse because he's like, he wants to tell Rachel who he is, but mm-hmm. he doesn't. And this is the kind of like the love story, which is kind of familiar with Bruce Wayne. He's always a woman involved with. Mm-hmm. Not like so much like the, what's it called, like the other Batman movies where the girls are kind of like in, like on the side, like Nicole Kidman. Yeah. Nicole Kidman was in there a little bit in Batman Forever. Mm-hmm. Vicky Vale was in there with Joker. There really was, who else? There was some other model ones with the other ones. There was
even a girl who was the Phantasm. Yeah, exactly. The Phantasm, that was his lady.
Yeah, so, but this
damn,
one is...
Damn, he gets around.
He does, he's playboy. Yep. So now
billionaire.
Bruce, exactly, billionaire. So now Batman is one character.
Wingman of freak-offs.
Batman is a millionaire. Bruce Wayne is a millionaire who's trying to live that life. And Bruce Wayne, Batman is running around Gotham, trying to clean up Gotham, because now it's kind of his mission, you find out, because he's trying to save it from, like, you know, in case somebody ever does come after Gotham, mm-hmm. if he cleans it up, Gotham's going to live. But now also Bruce Wayne is trying to have, like, his own little social life, and he has to realize, like, the balance between the two are never going to meet, especially with Rachel. Rachel's kind of like a MacGuffin of that. MacGuffin is, like, a term that they use for, like, a plot device. Yeah. So now Rachel is sitting there. She gets involved with the Scarecrow. He gasses her. She starts freaking out. She was going to die because she was going to. It basically caused her to have a heart attack. Crane basically tells her, like, hey, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit there and ruin all of Gotham. I put it in the water supply, and now everyone's going to sit there and bug out, and we're going to ruin, and we're going to get rid of Gotham just the way the League wants. So they try and do this. Batman comes up with an antidote for mass production. He gives it to her, to Rachel. Rachel! And he gives it to her to give to Gordon. And it's another one for Gordon, just in case. He releases it. They get into a big fight over everything. And now he realizes that Ra's al Ghul is in Gotham, and he's trying to destroy Gotham. And he's using Crane to do it. So he goes onto the, they were going to use a train to load the chemicals into Wayne Tower and crash it in there, which was going to set everything off. It had like a sonic thing that set off the gas to basically chemically mix or whatever.
Yeah, release it into the reservoir.
Yeah, release it into the reservoir. So if it reaches Wayne Towers, that was like the main hub. And basically that would have happened. It was like, it was supposed to be like the shining thing that like the Waynes failed. That this was like their big failure, and they were the ones of the hope and light of the city, and it's dead with them. So he gets on the train. This is my biggest plot hole of the whole entire movie, right? He doesn't know that Batman, Mitch Ogle doesn't know that Batman and Bruce Wayne are the same person, right? So Bruce Wayne reveals mm-hmm. himself to be himself to Rachel first, and then Rachel's like, oh my God, like, why didn't you tell me? It's like, listen, I couldn't combine the two worlds. I was afraid for you. So then he reveals it to Ra's al Ghul, and Ra's al Ghul is completely shocked. Like, I knew this was familiar. Like, so he fights him, beats him up every single time. Ra's al Ghul beats up Batman all the time. But now we have Ra's al Ghul basically losing to Batman because Batman's more stoic now. He's fighting for something rather than just himself. He understands what's on the line here. His tower, his family's legacy, the people of Gotham itself. So he basically beats him, the antidote goes off, and then he saves the day. But the thing that really always confused me, we'll talk about the plot hole later, but is the fact that Batman never really got the closure that he wanted to with Rachel, because Rachel just basically tells him, like, we can't be together, which is the weirdest thing in the whole movie. It's like, we can't be together until Gotham no longer needs Batman. Yeah.
But in her defense, she wants to be his priority. As long as as Gotham needs him, she's not his priority. Gotham is.
So it's her ego. No.
Exactly. So she's basically like, yeah, you work too much, so I can't really do this. Sorry, bye.
But she's crazy, because who wouldn't date Batman?
No.
Maybe it was something in that fear toxin.
And this is where
we
get
Tom Cruise, I don't know.
This is where we get our
first. Yeah, you choose Tom Cruise, but not Batman. Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Scientology, ruin that girl.
Yep.
So now we have basically the first ever, like, post-credit scene, but, like, follow-up to another movie.
Yeah, it would have been a post-credit scene if that came out years later.
Exactly.
But, the way they did it.
So what happens is that, like, he goes over to him. He's like, yeah, you saved the city and everything like that. It's like, well, we're on another case right now. It's like, what is it? It's like, yeah, this guy's killing people. And he's leaving all these Joker cards around. And it's the Joker.
Yes.
And you're like, oh!
I'll look into it.
So.
I wish I could do that.
Yep. Before we go into our next, what's it called? I just want to, damn it. I got to do some stuff here. We're going to go into our next commercial, or first commercial of the show. I just got to get the info for it, because I know I'm going to say it wrong.
Because we have sponsors.
Yes.
If anybody else wants to sponsor us, please do.
Please sponsor us. You know, for 7 cents a day, we can.
Yeah, exactly.
We will sing you songs.
Yeah. So basically, SWA returns November 15th with a great wrestling show. I can't pull it up because the whole entire internet down here is down, and it sucks. It's saying SOS. Wait, oh, that got signaled back.
Verizon, how dare you have an outage the other day? I just want to complain real quick.
You know what else had an outage?
All day
they
had an outage.
You know what else had an outage? PSN was down.
Really?
I heard about this. Go ahead.
Yes.
Go ahead. Tell everyone about it.
Yeah, PSN was down. I got home from work one day. Wanted to go watch some TV, some YouTube, and wouldn't load up. And I thought it was my internet connection, and it wasn't. I had to look into the I went and Googled it, and everyone was saying
it was like an outage map problem.
It happens every so often. Yeah.
And then people were posting funny memes on Instagram about it.
Yeah, I know. It's like, what's Xbox going to say? No one, Xbox hasn't been relevant in like past like 5 years.
But I realize how codependent I am, because Monday Verizon went down for like 10 hours.
Yeah.
And I had a doctor's appointment, and I'm not kidding you.
A nerd's worst nightmare is when the internet goes down.
Yeah, we start shaking and scratching.
No, but it was bad because I had a doctor's. I realized how codependent I am because I have a doctor's appointment and I couldn't go. You know why? Because I didn't have freaking GPS.
Yeah. Oh.
Because I have Verizon cell phone and I had the SOS bars the whole day.
Oh.
I don't know that I'm going to get there and back okay, even though it's my 27th time going.
Yeah.
You would think. That's I realize how what a child I am.
Sorry, we're going to get into the commercial right now. Ladies and gentlemen, SWA returns. Why is it going off now? Of course it is. SWA returns with Find Out. November 15th, I will be in action. Some great main events are going to be happening there. A great main event is going to be happening there. Here is the ad for it right now, because I can't do it justice. Yeah, they just all went home. Weird. I don't know. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to be the show, SWA, November 15th. It's going to be a great show. Check it out. So before we go into the next Batman movie, I want to talk about something that was really dear to my heart when this came out. The viral campaign for The Dark Knight.
Why so serious?
Yes. One of the best Batmans there is.
Oh, my God. Yes. This movie
one of
is,
the best.
Yes, exactly. Like, so what happened was that they did this whole entire thing where you, like, remember, I did you ever do it? Where you sent away for the phone and you had to, like, go on to eat. Like it was the same time that the movie Cloverfield came out. And it was this big viral marketing thing where, like, you had to go to a certain spot. I remember going to Bryant Park and going, like, wow, we have to go there, and then they released a message on everyone's phones, and it was basically saying you have to go here, and then you have to count the things on the top of the subway and how many horses are on the carousel, It gave you clues to the next thing. It was a big scavenger hunt. That's basically what it was, and they actually had like a new website where they had like the Gotham Gazette or whatever.
See, I remember the website.
Yeah, so they had all these things that were absolutely wonderful, and it made you feel part of the whole movie, which made it really entertaining for me, but again, it didn't have that much impact on the movie, so if you didn't do it, they were like, all right, let's not put too much into this, because there's going to be people who can't do this, work, physical handicaps, whatever. So this is for just to get people talking about it.
2008 social media.
Exactly, yeah, 2008 movies.
Wasn't what it is now.
Exactly. Took forever for my MySpace to load, you know, with all the code I had on it.
Those
layouts. Those layouts and everything like that. I used to charge like 50 bucks.
On my Sidekick. No.
HTML.
Yeah, HTML codes were the best. I was awesome at them.
Copy and paste in the back end.
So what happened is that eventually it was Gotham being terrorized. Gotham. It was in a lot of different cities all across the country. And what happened was at the end of it, it basically spelled out Joker across the United States, because they tracked your cell phones and it wrote in real time what it was. Whoa. And it basically spelled out the word Joker with a J backwards or something like that across the United States. Like, literally, they showed a map. And all the people moving in different locations, they did a great job on that. So the movie starts with the end of the campaign where he's looking for people to help rob a bank. Mm-hmm. That's the beginning of the movie.
Oh, so it was a spinoff of the scavenger.
Exactly.
Oh, I never knew that.
Some people never knew that. So
reminds me of Pokemon Go, which I really enjoyed. I know that's off topic, but I really enjoyed that game until I almost got hit by a car.
Uh-oh.
That's your fault. Truck, use RAM.
There might be something in there.
You almost lost that battle.
Yeah.
So she did not defend my gym.
Her eyes going wobbly. They throw in a Pokeball. Kidnapping. It's kidnapping. It's
gym protection.
Listen, Pokemon's awesome, okay? It's cute little fuzzy animals in war, right?
Yes.
That,
like gang rivalry.
They evolve.
Yeah. True story, getting off topic. Do you know that the, what's it called? The first series of Pokemon, the Red and Blue, they was actually made from an autistic kid.
Oh, really?
Autistic kid made the whole entire thing.
Yeah. Really?
He did steal the hell out of a lot of designs from Breath of Fire, but that's a different story.
Oh, yeah. Now I have to look that up.
And now Pokemon sued, what's it called, pal? They made like Pokemon games with like Pokemon and guns. Like it's
Yes, I know what you're talking about. I know.
I want to say PayPal, but it's not PayPal. It's not an app that you pay.
Sorry, Elon.
I know exactly, because I was just talking about it with a friend recently.
Adventure Pals, whatever the hell it's called. But anyway, they got sued by Pokemon and they won. So it's kind of screwed up that Nintendo did that, and that's another story. But anyway, so we're gonna go into Dark Knight. Dark Knight starts with the Joker, who is honestly the best villain out of any one of these series. Yes. I love Bane, but Joker was insane.
Number one. Like Heath Ledger, R.I.P. really? Heath Ledger, R.I.P.
And I talk about this a lot in things that where I say the Joker is a prism. And no matter what film you put him in, you're going to have to aspect a certain light of the Joker.
Yes.
So with this Joker, this was the complete anarchist. This was like... Like
legendary, legendary,
insane. And there's an interview with a guy that Heath Ledger says, like, I basically stole this guy's character. I forget his name, but he's like, it's in the 1960s. He's sitting on a chair talking to his interviewer. He's like, I want you to know that things don't exactly. And I was like, wow, this guy is the Joker. Like, it's his mannerisms and everything.
It was a famous actor, or
it's just actor just doing an interview. This guy who literally talked just like the Joker's like, it's like. I like you. I want you to know that. I want to know how I got these scars. You know, like he talked like that's what he sounded like. And I'm like, wow. So he's like, yeah, I just basically stole this guy's mannerisms and he's dead. So it was like, I just kind of studied how he talked and he was erratic and everything like that. He was very, like, you know, like, you can't see him because if you're listening to this on Spotify and iHeartRadio and Pandora and all the other things iHeart were on, he's basically doing, like, these little shuddering mannerisms with his hands and, like, these. So he took this and made it into, like, honestly, one of my favorite versions of the Joker.
Yeah. Because, of all time.
Because people were like, oh, this isn't the Joker. This is someone cosplaying as him. I was like, no. This is the Joker that has no bearing in reality. Uh-huh. His mind is just so scattered. Like, he's just like, and this is almost like the Killing Joke. Not the Killing Joke. Which one is it where he talks about all the different origins that he has?
That's Killing Joke.
It's Killing Joke. You're right. Yeah. I'm sorry. So it's like the Killing Joke all over again where it's like, I don't know how I got these scholars.
Yeah, well, he says, if I want to have a history, I prefer multiple choice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My father told me to, my father beat up my mom. And then, you know, like, and then he was like, another one was like, I dated a girl. And then she looked at me and was like, why don't you smile more? Yes. You know, like, and then it was like all this stuff that, like, he kept on doing. I was like, that was reminiscent of The Killing Joke, yeah, which is another great
sometimes
novel.
Sometimes I remember it one way. Wait, sometimes I remember another.
Yeah, so. So now we're basically Batman is Batman and he's basically on the hunt for the Joker and the Joker is just doing crazy things. Now, Rachel's been replaced by the lovely actress,
Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yes. Maggie Gyllenhaal. And now we're going back into that relationship, which is a great follow through. Cause now she knows he's Batman. Alfred is kind of like, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? They're more stoic. And Alfred comes into his movie a little bit more because, like, she gives him advice about, because he's, like, tracking down Joker. He's all these murders and everything like that. And
there's a little of Alfred's history when he was in, like, Special Forces or whatever.
He's learning Special Forces. He was doing recon. And this one story he talks about is this one guy that was, like, completely taking pop shots at them and they couldn't get him out. And they were in the woods. They're like, how do we get these guys out? And then you turn about the story later on, which plays into the end of the movie. So now all these criminal elements are, the Falcones are gone. The Maronis are gone.
No, Maroni's back.
Maroni's back. I'm sorry. Maroni's back. He was gone, but he came back.
Yeah, because he risen to power after Falcone, right?
Exactly. And they all like, how are we going to get rid of the Batman? And Joker comes up out of nowhere and goes, I got an idea. The wonderful scene where he walks with Michael Jai White, amazing actor, major stunt artist and everything. Mm-hmm.
Who just works with DC all the time now. Well, voice of Doomsday.
Yeah, he's the voice of Doomsday. So he basically comes out and just basically tells them, you guys work for me now. Well, I'm sorry. No, that's later on. So he basically, he tells them, like, you guys, we're going to come up with a plan. We kill the Batman. It's like, I'll be in touch. So then he goes after Michael Jai White's people. Mm-hmm. And what's it called? Because you would think, and I think they hit very good notes on that scene, because Joker has all the bombs.
Yes.
And it's like, da, 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 you know?
Let's
like,
not blow things out of proportion.
You know, like, and now, yeah, so this is like the Anarchist where
he's always been known to have such good lines.
Yeah, and that's the part where I feel like that was the best version of him, because he was like, if I die, I die.
But even that's his mannerisms.
Yep. That's exactly how the Joker is. He's like, you kill me, you kill me.
He was like that in Mask of the Phantasm. Exactly. He wanted to die at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
Movie.
He wanted to die. Killing Joke. He wanted Batman to kill him. He always wanted Batman to
push him
kill
to his limit.
He wanted to push him to his limit and kill him. That was supposed to be the joke. Mm-hmm. Everything's been, that was always the big joke with Joker and Batman. That's their relationship. So now, basically, he goes up on, he puts a bounty on, Michael Jai White's character puts a bounty on Joker, and they bring him Joker. But little to surprise, he actually winds up being like recruiting his guys, and then he kills him. He slices his throat.
Did you know that Michael Jai White's character was supposed to actually live, but he decided to just...
Why? Because it was such a quick death. That was the whole thing, because I think Michael Jai White...
Because he said all he did was just cut this part of him.
Yeah, exactly.
He was just going to have the Joker smile.
That's right. But that's right. He cuts his mouth, and I thought he was going to come back later on with the whole mouth thing.
Because he filmed other scenes.
Yeah, he filmed other scenes. So he just left them out. So I figured, like, he was going to be maybe on the boat.
That, I think so.
I think, I never heard anything about that, but maybe he was supposed to be on the boat, because maybe that's why they got Zeus.
Zeus
is in the movie.
You know who I thought Zeus was?
Who?
Killer Croc. He had, like, these scars right here.
That would be perfect.
I thought that was like
Waylon Jones was a prisoner.
Yeah, I thought that would have been a grounded Killer Croc. Yeah. Waylon Jones, yeah.
Yeah. Damn, that's actually
because he had
smart.
Like these weird scars on his neck. If you've seen it,
that's really
like,
smart.
So he had some weird skin thing going on. I was like, "That Killer Croc."
That's really smart. So now, Killer Croc. I figured he was going to be someone along those lines where he's working for the Joker now.
Yes,
like he throws the stick on the ground or whatever, and now he has a Joker face. Like maybe you see him at the scene where he does the salute for.
Yes,
you know. So now we have Joker basically running over Gotham. Batman's trying to stop him, and then we have the big scene where Joker and Batman first meet. This is where he's at the party.
Yes.
And Joker is basically looking for Bruce. Mm-hmm. Because he doesn't know who's who yet.
Yeah.
I feel
no
like
way, he's looking for Harvey, right?
He's looking for Harvey. Yes. I forgot about Harvey. Jesus Christ.
You must be Harvey Squeeze. Yeah,
exactly. He's like, you must be Harvey Squeeze.
But isn't he the reason Harvey...
Yes, we're going to get to that. I'm like, I know I'm forgetting something. I just said it. We're forgetting about Harvey Dent.
Because they have that little meeting at the before table. The party at yes, the table.
Which is another iconic scene where he goes... What about Harvey Dent is the great crusader? Yes,
yeah,
it's like I think people would notice if I ever disappeared, you know, in the middle of the night. And then Bruce is kind of like understanding that there's something between Rachel and Harvey. I forgot to mention that point completely. So now Harvey is kind of like Bruce's like pet project. It is, because now he's sitting there trying to be like, you know what? If this guy could take over Gotham, I could be with Rachel.
Yes.
So he understands Harvey is the White Knight, like, because he's the good guy, which plays into something else later on. Down. And all this has so much symbolism.
Which changes, but yes.
Yeah, yeah. So now we have Harvey saying the infamous line, either you die a hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Yes.
Which, again, the foreshadowing in this movie is just gold. Mm-hmm. They do it in such intermediate levels, as in like down the road in other movies, mm-hmm. but then they also do it like immediately right in front of you. So, or forthwith, if you would. So now we have Harvey Dent kind of trying to figure out, like, he puts a whole bunch of jail, all these guys in prison on this big RICO charge, which is a beautiful thing mm-hmm. because now you see all these guys freaking out, like, you know, Joker's kind of freak. Joker has all the money, and there's this one guy, the Asian guy, that's their lawyer,
Lau,
who's hiding everything. Uh-huh. So he goes to China and tries hiding away from everything, mm-hmm. which Bruce goes to China to kidnap him, and it's a beautiful, beautiful scene.
Good to be rich.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So now Harvey...
Because he sends Lucius over there to talk to him.
Talk to him, yeah. So it's a beautiful scene. So he basically kidnaps him, brings him back to the United States, and Joker goes... I know people, and I know screamers, and that guy's going to be a squealer.
Yes, uh-huh.
So, Batman now, what's it called? This guy's in jail, but now Joker, how does he get put in jail here? I know he goes after Batman, he gets arrested, the whole Gordon thing, but I'm skipping something here.
Oh, wait, hold on. Is it when...
Not Harvey does the fake thing, but the other...
When Batman's on the ground. He's trying to take off his mask, and then Commissioner Gordon is
That's later on.
That's not who takes Joker to jail?
That's who takes Joker to jail. But that's how he gets into... That's how he gets Lau. Point of getting, him getting Lau.
Yes.
But now, Joker is... There's something that I'm forgetting. Harvey Dent puts all the guys in jail... He puts them all in jail.
He disarms some guy in courtroom
or something like that. He gets, you see his anger and he calls, you know, whatever. But then there's something else that happens, I'm forgetting.
It's not when he kidnaps that guy, when Harvey Dent kidnaps that guy and he's...
Well, that's way later. After Joker does his master plan. So there's something I'm forgetting. Hold on. I'm trying to think. Joker. Help me out. You guys watch this.
And it's something...
Many times.
Is it something Harvey does?
It's something... So I'm lost here. Joker... Is it Joker tries to kill? Oh, he tries to make Batman unmask. That's what it is. So Batman basically gets Lau, puts him in prison, puts him in jail because of all the stuff that he's running all the gangsters' money. So now Joker has all the money. And he goes, I'm just going to... That's later on, too. Damn it. There's a spot that I'm forgetting.
Is it the talk show guy?
Yes, the talk show guy. Yes. So now... One of Batman's or Bruce Wayne's employees kind of puts together that, like, hey, you want me to audit this? And then he kind of puts stuff together.
Like blackmailing
him. He goes, I'm just going to look into it. So he comes back later on. He goes, hey, listen, I want this. I want that. He goes, you think the best idea? You think the best idea is to have a man that dresses up as a vigilante at night and you're going to blackmail him?
Probably not the smartest idea.
So now Joker catches wind of it. That's what it is. Joker catches wind that this guy is on an interview show and he goes, hey, I know who Batman is. Mm-hmm. So he goes, we don't want to ruin the fun. That's too much Bane, sorry.
We like it.
He goes, I don't want anybody to ruin the fun yet. So what we're going to do is we're going to put a bounty on him. I'm going to have a bomb at such and such at Gotham General. And if this man is not dead by this time, I'm going to blow it up. So now everyone in the city is going after this guy. Yes. Bruce Wayne comes out with the Lamborghini, stops him from getting killed.
And pretends he doesn't even know that guy was
there. No. Yeah. So now Joker oh, crap, I screwed up because this is way later on down in the movie because then Harvey gets hit with the bomb and everything like that.
And that's when...
Yeah. So anyway, I screwed up. I'm sorry. So now there's something I'm forgetting, and it's going to piss me off so much because I'm going to remember it later on. Anyway, screw it. So now... the vigilante group. That's what it was.
From the beginning, right?
Yeah, so now the vigilante group...
I'm not wearing hockey pants.
I'm not wearing hockey pants.
So, what makes us any different exactly from you? Yeah.
So now all these people are like, they kind of do that role with the Joker. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, because Crane is in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, Crane's in the beginning of the movie. He's in prison.
He's in all of the movies.
Yeah, he's in all the movies, yeah. So now he basically, Joker kills one of them, hangs him by the mayor's office, and now he's like, I want to find out, like, who this is. Like, stay out of my business, you know. This is for the Batman. And he starts leaving all these videos and everything like that.
That's when he plays the tape back of before he kills
him. He's like, oh, what's going on? And the guy's upside down. That's actually from the, what's it called? From the Mark campaign, because they did that a lot, where Joker would leave videos like
that.
So now the whole thing with Harvey Dent. Harvey Dent gets kidnapped by Joker. So does Rachel. I know I'm skipping stuff. I just really feel bad. I'm just forgetting a lot of stuff right now. So now we have Rachel and Harvey in two different locations. So Joker is in prison, and Batman basically, what's it called? Harvey Dent goes, hey, this is what I'm going to do. The Batman has such much time to turn himself in. Ladies and gentlemen, take the Batman into custody. I'm the Batman. So they do the whole big convoy thing. They have the big fight scene with the Batmobile. They flip the truck over, and Joker, Batman doesn't kill Joker because he could have just ran him over like a like a freaking tree pizza, but he swerves, crashes, the guy goes to grab the mask. Beginning of the movie, all over again. So now it's like, Gordon sits there and puts a gun
before he's commissioner, because I think he becomes commissioner because he catches Joker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
he's lieutenant at this time.
Yeah, so then they capture him, and I forgot about, I screwed up again, because now it's, he died, they do the whole funeral for Gordon. Fake death. So Gordon fakes his death. I'm so sorry, everyone listening. We're all over the place.
That's when they're doing the whole big parade thing.
Yeah, so that's where I thought Michael Jai White was going to be, and he was going to have a fight with Batman. Maybe that was going to be the guy. Then he secretly kills him. Maybe, what's his name, kills him. Harvey Dent actually kills Michael Jai White.
Because
he has the Joker face on, whatever. I'm so sorry to our listeners. I completely screwed all this up. I watched this movie so many times. It's all over the place.
But there's so many that they do meld. Yeah, there's
So now they fake Gordon's death. How'd they fake his death?
It's after the shooting, right?
Yeah, it was a shooting or something like that.
I don't know if it was a parade. It was a bunch of cops, right? It looked like a parade.
So that Joker doesn't have his face paint on, and he had that schizophrenic
Right. That's the first time you see him without the paint. And you just see the scars.
Yeah, then you see Joker's henchman. He's like, he's a psychopath from Gotham. He plays men like this. You're not going to get anything out of him. And you see Harvey Dent again, really kind of dark side
flipping
come out.
The coin.
Exactly, the iconic coin.
I love that.
Thank you. The coin.
The coin. Everybody has their thing. Like, obviously, Batman has, like, the bat sign, but then Joker has the card, right? And then Harvey has the coin flip. It's great.
What the other side is, it's a two-headed coin.
Yep, everything is twos with him.
Yeah, and it's also, he's like, heads, I win, tails, you lose. Yeah. But it's always, two-headed. Yeah,
until the tragedy.
Exactly, until the tragedy. So now, Harvey goes missing. Joker makes his master play. He puts acid inside the commissioner's...
in those barrels, right?
In the glass, remember? He puts the acid in his drink. Remember?
Oh, yes, the mayor.
The judge gets exploded. What's it called? All these other people wind up getting hurt, and then it's like, what's going on? So Two-Face, because
it's like Harvey, a list of people that he wants to knock off. Yeah.
So it's Joker doing all this stuff, and then he kidnaps Rachel and what's it called? But he doesn't realize that, you know, Batman's kind of affiliated with both of them. So Joker's in prison now, and he puts a bomb inside that one guy's stomach.
With the phones going off.
So he goes, I want to make my call. Then Batman basically beats him and grabs out of him. He's like, I keep doing Bane for some reason. I don't know why.
Because,
like,
we do it all the time.
Yeah, I know. He's like,
because before that, you get the interrogation scene, right?
The interrogation scene. He's like, You don't never really start with go. For, you never start with the head. You get all woozy. You know, like
they don't feel the next. That's like,
yeah, yes. See. So then he tells him, like, Harvey's at blah 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 blah. Uh-huh. But his girlfriend. That's what it was because he understood that they were related. Romantically, he goes.
When he's like, I almost thought you were dead because the way you threw yourself at her.
Exactly. It's like I thought you were with her too. The way you threw yourself out that window. Mm-hmm. You know. So. So then Batman basically goes to save. Rachel.
Because he actually tells him the wrong location.
Exactly, he tells him the location, because that's when you knew, if you go back and watch it, you knew that he was like, oh, you actually like her, don't you? Mm-hmm. And he goes, all right, I'll make it interesting. You have one chance to save one of them. You save this. And he knew he wanted Harvey alive, because his whole plan was to manipulate Harvey. Mm-hmm. So, not manipulate Harvey, but was to...
take Gotham's White Knight and bring him down to our level.
Exactly. So he told everyone where Rachel's be so that he feels guilty about Rachel's death. Uh-huh. That's the master plan about everything.
Yes.
So then he goes to save Rachel. He's there. And then Rachel's like, it's okay. It's okay. They're going to... And then Rachel's dead. Bruce suffers because of this, and you see the iconic smoldering scene where he's like over the warehouse and everything's destroyed. What's it called goes off too, but he knew that they were going to save Harvey. If they didn't, he just killed Harvey either way. So it is a split road on that decision. He never thought that he'd become a Two-Face, for Christ's sake.
I know. Once
So then Harvey kind of has a meeting with Joker later on. There's a whole bunch of stuff that happens. We're running out of time, so.
In the hospital?
Yeah, in the hospital, which is another iconic scene.
The best scene of the whole movie.
Yeah, so he goes, I'm just an agent of chaos. I'm like a dog chasing a car. I wouldn't know what to do if I ever caught one.
I'm like a man with a plan.
Exactly. It's like, I just throw a little bit of gasoline, and then everyone goes crazy, you know? Like, he's like, introduce a little bit of chaos.
And one thing about chaos, it's fair.
Exactly.
And at one point he says, I can't do the sound, but he's like, madness is like gravity. Yes. All you need is a little push.
Exactly.
That was one of the best lines.
That was so underrated. People don't really remember that line, but that's one of my favorite ones. So now Harvey, basically, he realizes, like, those guys weren't me. That was not me. Mm. Like, you know, he's like, I didn't think that was going to happen. So now he goes crazy. He goes after all the people. He goes after the crooked cops.
Mm-hmm, the mobsters.
The people, because they had family inside Gotham General, and they realized I can use this to manipulate them. So it was a whole big thing. And then the best scene about the whole entire movie is that they actually blew up a real building for that scene.
Yep. They blew up the hospital. They didn't have that many.
It's a good thing they made all that money.
One chance to do it.
Yep. But that was the best scene. And I just have to say, and I said this again, Heath Ledger literally went out with a bang. I mean, he literally became a legend. He was the best Joker ever made. He just was phenomenal. It was phenomenal.
So now we have Two-Face running around being a crazy son of a bee. And basically he kidnaps Gordon's son, because now he blames Gordon the whole entire time in the movie earlier in the beginning, where he goes like, your cops are corrupt, you're all crooked, I don't trust you. He's like, this happened to you, know, tell me you didn't know about this, blah, 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 blah. And he basically flips a coin, which is a really stupid death. I'm sorry, I love the movie and all, but he just kind of fell to his death. There wasn't really a Two-Face moment. Like, it should have been, like, we should have gotten a full-on Two-Face, save him for the next movie.
That's what I was thinking, that was the original plan.
And then he died, and I'm like, come on. So now it's down to Joker, and basically Joker is, he basically blows up all the bridges in Gotham, and he's like, we're going to take back Gotham, and which is actually kind of ironic, because if you notice, they did the same exact plot in Dark Knight Rising.
Oh, take back Gotham?
Yeah, they take back Gotham. They literally isolate Gotham, but Joker has the two boats. The boats full of the prisoners that they're moving off of, what's it called, Bloodhaven?
Yes.
What's it, Bloodhaven? No. Or Arkham? Was it Bloodhaven or Gotham? It might have been Bloodhaven, actually.
Yeah, because it wouldn't have been Arkham, because Arkham's all of the insane people. These are like regular
prisoners, exactly. Yeah. So I think this is Bloodhaven. So now all the prisoners are on one boat, all the what's it called on the other boat.
No, maybe Blackgate?
Blackgate! There you go, it's Blackgate, jeez. He basically makes the people on the boat, he tells them, like, listen, you're both strapped to bombs, and the first one to pull the trigger on the other one wins. That's it. Mm-hmm. So the thing was that the theory was that Joker was going to blow up everybody to show them that any choice is a bad choice. Mm-hmm. Only chaos rules. And what happens is that both people on both boats basically choose, no, we're going to choose life. The one thing that he did not think was going to happen. So it came close both times. There was that one guy who was like, let me do it. I'll do it. They made their choice. And then it was Zeus on the other end.
Well, he's like, you never took a life before.
Let me do it.
Do what you should have done. Exactly. With the detonator, and he throws it.
He throws it because even criminals, they show, are people. And that's a beautiful thing. Yes. So then they have Batman fighting in the tower. Joker, again, is setting all these elaborate things. He has the hostages as his guys dressed up as hostages, and the hostages with the guns taped to their hands. So,
and then the cops or whatever are actually his men.
Yeah, exactly. So then you have this big fight. Yeah. She hangs Joker out the window, and that's the last time we ever see the Joker because he wasn't able to reprise his role.
I know.
So now we go...
What are you trying to prove? That deep down everyone is as ugly as you.
Exactly. And that shows the Joker that chaos is also chaos. Like, your chaos may not be in the end result that you want. Sometimes people choose the good stuff. But now we have the problem about Harvey. So they're trying to cover up what Harvey did, and what does Batman do? He takes the blame. Mm-hmm. He hides himself. They destroy the bat signal. He takes all the heat over Harvey so that Harvey's legacy of Gotham not being completely destroyed and still has a heart and a hero can still rise from there. So now he's an outlaw. Now we go into the vigilante Batman series where in the beginning of this movie, again, Batman was a really kind of savior and everything.
Because he even had a statue and all that.
Exactly, he had a statue. But then we learned that Batman just disappears now, which is smart. Because in Batman, Dark Knight Rising, Batman is gone.
He's been gone for 8 years.
Yeah, and we have Catwoman in this one, Felicia Harding. So, Felicia Harding.
Selina Kyle. Yes.
I thought Selina.
Played by Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, Anne Hathaway, yes.
Right, yeah. Sorry. Anne Hathaway.
So now we have the whole issue of
Batman. Wait, one thing. I was an extra in Dark Knight Rises.
We're going to get to that.
You were?
Yes.
We're going to get to that.
One of the best Batmans, in my opinion.
Yeah, so we're going to get to that later on. So anyway, so now we have Batman who is gone. He's
with his messed up knee.
It was messed up knee because he really got kind of like beat up.
Do you remember his doctor was Officer Dangle from Reno 911?
Yeah. So basically he was like, you don't even have this.
He has no cartilage.
There's none of that. So basically now Batman is walking around with a cane. It's about 5 years later, I think.
8 years.
So now we time jump. And the movie starts off in an incredible scene that was actually real.
The plane.
Do you know they actually destroyed a real-life plane? Like, that's literally a real plane that you see falling and being destroyed.
They go crazy with that stuff because you only get one chance to do that.
Exactly.
Just like with the hospital blowing up in
Dark Knight. Bane was classic. This wasn't the car. I mean, I feel
and that was his opening scene, too.
The Bane and Talia story in general is really amazing.
We'll get to that later on. So what happens is now that Bane is basically a mercenary. He has his own little mercenary team, which is kind of true to the comics. He's always been like not for hire.
But he's always had his henchmen.
And then we have classic Bane. Got ready for the Bane voice like I always do. It's like, he's probably thinking, why would he shoot a man and then throw him out of a plane? Because it has Littlefinger from Game of Thrones in there. He shoots into out the plane and then throws him out. So he goes... He steals the scientist to make the bomb. So now he goes back to Gotham after the plane falls and he's like, no, brother, one of us must remain behind. They will look for us.
Yes.
You know, and
you're expecting one of us in the wreckage.
Your sacrifice will be noble. I don't know if he said that. I'm just thinking of stuff now, man.
He says, like, have we lit the fire and the fire rises?
We lit the fire and then the fire rises. And he looks at the scientist. He's like, He's like, don't worry. There's no time for screaming now. Save it for later. And then, boom, plane falls. And then we start the movie. We show Bruce Wayne. We have, he's beaten up. He's recluse. He doesn't step out anymore. He's barely beaten. His knees are all bad. And he gets robbed by Selina Kyle, who's dressed as a maid during the movie, party that he has in his house. So he goes and goes, let me find out what's going on. He actually goes after her. He tries to get the jewels back. I can't remember if he does or not.
Anne Hathaway, you're my idol.
It was the pearls, right?
It was his mother's pearls.
Yes.
So he goes, so now Anne Hathaway and... she's basically telling him, like, listen, the rich need to die. She's like kind of evil. She's very dark in this one. She's like, they need to be thrown out in the street, tossed out, their riches destroyed, and passed along through the people.
She's like an extreme Robin Hood.
Exactly. She's extreme Robin. She's like Robin from the hood. So,
Hood today, Robin.
Yes. So now we have Selina Kyle, all the stuff going down. Batman kind of like, you know, Bruce Wayne is kind of like developing tech because he realizes. I forgot how Bane gets introduced to Gotham.
Yeah, where does he? How does he get in there?
He goes to the. It's not the stadium game. That's the big scene.
Yeah.
But he basically, like Batman, something happens where he dresses up as Batman again, but he has the exoskeleton.
Mm-hmm.
So he has the suit and everything like that. And he, I think Bane is like kind of doing something. I can't remember what the hell Bane does. But anyway, he meets up with Bane for the first time. And Selina Kyle is basically like, you know.
She traps him.
She traps him, yeah. She goes.
So maybe that's how. Maybe he had a deal with Selina Kyle. Yeah, Selina Kyle set him up.
Yeah, Selina Kyle set him up. And like he, because she's working for Bane. Because she's like, the League of Shadows is like.
You're making a big mistake.
Exactly. So
not as big as the one you've made, I fear.
Exactly. And then the iconic scene. Now, this is my big hole that I was talking about from before, right? So what happens is Ra's al Ghul from the first Batman movie, mm-hmm. right? He finds out he's on the train.
Yeah.
10 to 15 seconds later, he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
How did Bane...
How does anyone know that it was Batman that did it? Yeah, that's...
Because he said Ra's al Ghul sent him. How did Talia al Ghul know that he was Batman?
Maybe she'd been watching.
He's like, he's like on his last legs, like... Hey, Bane, Bruce Wayne's Batman.
Maybe they just know. Remember how Alfred knew that Bane was trained by a League of Shadows from his fighting style and stuff like that?
Yeah.
He's like, you know, all of that. So maybe Talia could tell from how Batman was.
But that's the thing. It's like.
Because she might have known that he took Wayne in as a student or whatever. Yeah. So maybe she's seen Batman. It's like, wait a second, put two and two together.
But yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, they never really kind of said it. They never
applied. They left it, like, they left it up to headcanon, basically.
Not even headcanon. They just basically said Batman is Bruce Wayne. Yeah. Like, they're like, oh, because he says, oh, there's no need to stand on ceremony
Mr.
here.
Mr. Wayne, yes.
Mr. Wayne. And he goes, oh, shit. Uh-huh. He goes, uh-oh.
And then he says, you betrayed us.
It's like, you betrayed us. Because that's the thing where it's like, how did he know he was part of the League of Shadows?
Yeah.
Because he never talked to Talia. He never talked to Talia. He never...
Bane?
Yeah, no, Ra's al Ghul. He never mentions it anything, because otherwise he would have brought her in, I think. You know what I mean?
True, because she was in jail since she was a baby from his wife. Exactly,
yeah. So this is 8 years later.
Visits,
I know, exactly. Like, yeah, he had, like...
Well, that's how she meets Bane, is because...
Yeah. Bane gets her out. But anyway, so now we have...
Oh, wait, Bane gets her out, and then Ra's al Ghul takes her in.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what they learn, when Ra's al Ghul takes them both in.
But they never knew... But this is, like, she's not that older. Like, she's, like, about...
Because remember, he said Ra's al Ghul, Ra's al Ghul didn't like Bane because it was a reminder of his failure. So maybe that's where they learned.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing. It's like, so how did we get from Bane not being liked by Ra's al Ghul to being his right-hand guy? Like, hey, listen, you're the one guy that I'm going to call. Be like, hey, listen, Batman is kind of what's it called? Now, Talia...
No, remember he says, you were excommunicated by King. So he...
Exactly.
Maybe secretly Talia was down with him or whatever.
Yeah, but...
She was loyal to him, but Ra's al Ghul wasn't, maybe?
Yeah, I never understood that. But anyway, so now
we... should explain to
him. So now we have Bane doing his master plan. Mm-hmm. His whole plan, we're going to keep this very brief because we're almost out of time. Bane basically is tasked with destroying Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
But he does it on both levels. He does it on a physical and an emotional level because he grabs the letters from Gordon and he basically tells everyone, like, it's like, yeah, it was my own secret that I've taken with me.
Mm-hmm.
He went to take my son and almost killed him. And it's my shame that I had to put it on the Batman. You know, like, he's ruining his, his, what's it called? He wanted to destroy Gotham completely.
Yes, yeah, so there's no trace left.
Exactly.
I think what's cool about Bane, too, is I think not everybody knows this, but, like, the reason why he wears, like, the mask on his face, you know, that's actually pumping, like, painkillers into his body.
Yeah, because he's so messed up.
Because he's so messed up.
From those injuries in prison.
From the injuries that he had in prison and gave him so much damage that the only way for them to use him.
It was that doctor that worked on his prison.
Yeah, for him to get out is they had to cover all of his injuries with this thing. And the thing is when you hear the it's actually pumping painkillers into his body.
So if I remove that mask, will you die? It would be extremely painful.
Also, fun fact, Tom Hardy is only 5'6".
Yes.
Yeah, I seen him in person when he squared off with Bruce Wayne.
Yeah. Oh, am I jealous?
And Bruce,
people
and,
leaked that fight online, remember?
Yes.
There was people in apartments looking down, filming it.
So now, the whole thing is now we have Bane, basically, he blows up Batman's Batcave from underneath, all his toys, like, and we'll do it with your own set of toys. So now he
with the tumblers and
everything. Yeah, the tumblers and everything like that. So he basically blows up. We're going to keep this very brief. He basically blows up the Gotham football game.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a young detective. What was his name again in the movie?
John Blake.
John Blake. Yeah, so Blake is kind of like, I always felt like it was a playoff of Drake, Tim Drake.
Yeah, yeah, I think it was a mixture between like all of the Robins.
Yeah, because he was kind of like a little rambunctious, whatever.
Yeah.
So now we have Tim Blake running around doing all the good stuff, and he figures out right away, boom, you're Batman. Because that's the thing where he, in the beginning of the movie, where he's just like, it's like, yeah, only one person would sit there and actually care about like the way that you do. It's like you took in orphans and this and this and this. And yeah, so that's basically what happened. And
his real name is
Robin. Yeah, which happens later on in the movie. So so Tim is kind of like Jonathan. Yeah. So John is basically running around trying to solve these little mysteries. And he actually finds the biggest one of them all is he chases people down to a construction site. They try killing him. He goes, what the hell's going on? And he realizes they're not building something underneath ground. They're building bombs and use the cement as a giant bomb. And they use it to destroy the whole entire football stadium, which was kind of pointless.
Yeah.
It was like, why'd you destroy the football stadium?
Which I also thought was real.
If you were planning on destroying all the
stadium.
No,
that was all CGI. That was all CGI.
Because they had the players running and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have been too risky.
Yeah. Like, all right, in this scene, you're going to fall
to
your death.
We want you to outrun.
Exactly.
That's method
like
acting.
Like a video game.
That's true method acting. Roll me up. I'm ready.
Exactly. So now he basically kills the scientist. That he peeks and tells, like, tell everyone who you are. You're the only one that can shut this off, right? Snaps his neck.
Yes.
He's like, so now it's about a couple. Now, also, Jesus Christ, I'm an idiot. I just completely forgot the whole biggest scene of the whole entire movie. So he.
Batman's back.
We jumped that all one? Over it. Yeah. So, stand on ceremony, Mr. Wayne.
The
what does he
most
do?
Iconic.
He breaks Batman's
right
back.
Right over his knee.
Like
right,
so. Yeah. With my
what
knee.
With so. With my knee.
Give me a last apple. Yeah.
And then Batman's literally paralyzed down there, and it takes
he's
him
broken
so long.
In half. Yeah. That man had a family.
That man had a family. Well, actually, not really. They were dead.
No, he doesn't.
He had a butler. He had an employee. So now Batman basically gets sent to the prison. He's in the prison.
With a broken back.
With a broken back. And then, which is like the most mysterious way of healing, is you just hang somebody.
And then push something.
Exactly. Push it on
their
back.
One vertebrae out of place.
Exactly.
That has to be pushed back in.
Exactly. You stand there until you walk. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Okay, we're moving along. Whatever. So now he starts getting back into shape, pushing up. He realizes.
You should have did a montage.
Yeah, that would have been great. It's a montage. Montage. So now Batman basically is trying to figure how to get out of the cave. And he hooks himself up to a rope. And he hears a story about the child who left, who he thinks is Bane, which we find out later on is not. And he goes, how did the child escape? And he goes, we don't know. The kid just made it. It's like everyone else has tried, has failed. So he keeps trying with the rope, ties himself to the rope, gets lifted up. And then he realizes the kid gave up all chances. He gave up that safety net. When he put that extra bit of danger inside of him, he was able to
no
leap.
Choice, yeah.
So he leaps, jumps, makes it.
Yeah,
because
the
out.
Doctor gives him, like, he's like, you don't fear death and you think it makes you stronger? Yeah. He's like, how can you fight harder, run faster, jump higher if you don't fear death?
Exactly. So now Batman basically, Batman does that.
The doctor tells him that the child, he's like, do it as a child did it without the rope.
Yes, exactly. So now Bane is basically taking over Gotham. He makes the bomb, he pulls out the neutrino system, and then basically it turns into a giant, it's going to destroy Gotham.
And he's
bomb.
Having those trials. With Crane as the judge.
Exactly.
Crane makes his third appearance.
Exactly. So Crane comes up and he's like,
he's back.
Or exile. He goes, oh, exile, of course. So they walk him out of the ice, people die.
Exile by death.
Exactly.
He's like, death by exile.
Yeah, exactly. So now, Gordon's trying to run around, trying to find stuff. Everyone dies. They capture Gordon. He runs in front of Crane now. And it's a beautiful scene because, like, Crane is actually kind of like, you find out, like, he's just like a little gnat. Like, you know, I think that was his last scene in the movie, too.
Gordon's?
No, Crane.
Yeah, it was.
That was his last scene in the movie. And then he goes out, and then Batman comes out. And it was so funny. Like, this is another hole in the movie that I have. How did Batman, like, how should I say this the right way? The hole with the movie is that how did Batman know where Gordon was? On top of that, how did he make the giant flaming bat symbol on the bridge? Like, he had enough time to
because
really do
he's
this.
The world's greatest detective.
And graffiti artist? I don't know.
Detectives dealt with graffiti,
exactly. So now that happens, and now he basically gets all the cops who were stuck on the ground because they were all stuck on the ground. I forgot to mention that before, sorry, we're skipping over stuff.
Oh, yeah, from when he blew everything up and it trapped them.
Yeah. John Blake is, like, running around trying to help him out, and basically, we get into the point now where it's they're trying to track down the bomb. They put Gordon in charge of, like, hey, you find whatever, because they rotate it, and one of Gotham's citizens has a trigger. If you try stopping us, I'll blow it all up anyway, which makes no sense. Why didn't Bane just blow everything up in the first place? I don't get it.
All villains need an elaborate plan. It's
just as elaborate than they're stupid. So if you want to destroy Gotham, why let Gotham further grow into decay? Yeah. Just destroy it. You have the bomb. It's already set up. Boom.
Maybe done. You want to show people on the news. They're going into decay.
My name is Bane. Goodbye.
You know, I'm pretty sure it had to be news broadcasts going out, right?
Coming into you live.
And now everyone's dead.
Because he blew the bridges up too, so no one gets in or out.
The same thing, which I said before. I was going to talk on next. He's like, hey, he actually destroyed all the bridges just like Joker did. So within the span of 8 years, Gotham has like 8 different bridges getting destroyed twice. So
after they rebuilt them,
Like, da-da-da-da-da-da, Bane. You know? What's it called? So now... one of the cops basically go, hey, some of us are above ground. Gordon's like, we have to fight him. He's like, Jim, look what's going on. Like, we're going to lose. He's like, I'm not telling you to dress up in your dress blues and can walk downtown, but we have to sit there and fight. So they come up with a plan. The bomb's being driven around Gotham in 3 different trucks, and they have to figure out which one it is, and then they can reset the bomb because they know how to now. So now all the cops come into this big battle scene, and we have some really cool-looking people on both sides, especially our good friend, Prince Atiba, who...
got to hit a cop for real.
Yeah!
Because they were off... A lot of those cops were off-duty cops.
I heard, yeah.
One of them yelled at me for not keeping my gun down. I kept it up. He yelled at me. He said, he almost hit me. He's like, okay, I'll keep it down.
Yeah.
Next time I ran by him, hit him for yelling at me.
Good.
Only time I can get away with hitting a cop.
Yeah, exactly. It would be funny if you steal horseshoe. That's a little inside joke.
And called himself on me.
Yeah, he called himself on me.
He reported down. He reported me to himself.
So now there's a big fight between Batman and Bane. Yes. Batman realizes how to beat Bane because it's the face piece. He goes, okay, and he hits it. And he starts turning into Darth Vader on us.
Yes.
And
help me remove this mask because he wants to look at him with his own eyes.
So now he goes, where's the trigger? Who's the second person?
Yes, where's the trigger?
Where's our trigger?
They're going to give it to an honorary citizen.
Where is it?
And that's then, not going to make him answer.
Exactly. Like, ow, ow.
You're punching him right in the mouth. Mouthpiece. His answering hole.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I got Batman, let me tell you. You know? So now Batman basically gets stabbed by Talia Ghul.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And people forget that she was part of the whole entire thing.
Yes, because she went by a fake name the whole time.
Yeah, the fake name the whole entire time. It was like, Bane was the one that got out. Bane was the one who helped me get out. Yes. Because that was my dad. Yes. My dad was the mercenary, and he escaped. My mother stayed there. My mother died. Because
he told the story about having a wife in the first, in Batman Begins.
Yeah, and that was the mother from the beginning of the movie, which I totally did not talk about.
And she was like,
before.
Surprise, I looked like a little boy when I was a kid. Yeah. So you thought it was
him. Exactly, I'm bald. Because that was the look back then in jail, you know? So now Batman is kind of like on his last legs, and this is the funny scene in the whole entire movie. All the great stuff that Bane did, all the evil plans that he had, all the thinking, all the bombs, all the destruction, and he got shot by a chick on a motorcycle.
In all fairness, it was a gun on the motorcycle.
Exactly. A motorcycle gun.
Yes.
So now,
wait, which was Batman's motorcycle? Why did he have a gun on there if he doesn't kill? He had a gun on his motorcycle. I know.
It's for self-defense.
But even so.
So now Catwoman comes back. She goes, after realizing, like, oh, my God, everything that I ever wanted, the destruction, people being tossed out, was not what I wanted.
Yes.
When she saw the little kid getting robbed, there's, like, there's real, real consequences to people being evil in the world. So Batman basically... because also Alfred's in this movie again, too, and he has a dream about, like, you know, I had a dream where, like, you know, you were... We looked at each other across the way, and, like, you saw me, I saw you, you were tired. Like, I figured, like, you know, you go on your own adventures, I go on mine, and then we're sitting at a delicatessen or a restaurant, and you just give me a nod, I give you a nod, and I see you with your family, and I figured that's what it was going to, what life was going to be like after all this is done, and it's not. It's like, you know, so now, basically, Batman, in the beginning of the movie, he has the little helicopter thing or the plane thing. Uh-huh. And he talks about, like, how the air...
It never had autopilot
to set up to the camera, to the audience. But, like, this thing is... It doesn't have autopilot. He has to fly it. Mm-hmm. So, little behold, he actually fixes it. But, so now Batman basically takes the bomb after beating Bane. Bane dies. Oh, I guess I'll have to imagine the flames. And he takes the bomb, flies it out overseas. Boom. Everyone thinks Batman's dead. He sacrificed himself.
Yeah.
The city goes
Batman's never dead.
Everyone kind of has, like, a memorial for Batman. Alfred and a couple other people.
He leaves all of his stuff to Jonathan Blake.
To Jonathan Blake.
He discovers the Batcave.
He discovers the Batcave. And not even that, he says, part of my will is that the Batcave, my mansion will not be torn down or renovated in any other way other than for the orphans of Gotham. Yep. So this was Batman's, it's actually kind of like the Nightfall protocol. So,
if someone takes over.
Everyone takes over. If he goes down, the Nightfall protocol. Yeah. So,
this was inspired by.
Yeah, this is kind of inspired by. So, Blake goes, he starts investigating the grounds, he finds all the Batman stuff, and then that's supposed to lead to what I thought was going to be either Batman Begins or Batman... Batman Beyond. Batman Beyond.
Yes.
Like a offshoot of that without the clone thing, whatever.
Yeah.
And then maybe maybe Nightwing. He goes straight to Nightwing.
Yeah.
Because he says at the end of the movie, he's like, oh, I have some personal things. I was like, oh, yeah. It's like, his name's my other name, Robin. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
And little known fact, Christopher Nolan said that he tried pushing onto him, putting Robin into the movie in this one where he helps him out. Yeah. And you actually see where there was holes in the movie where Robin could have been. Mm-hmm. And he goes, no, I don't want to do this. If Robin's in it, I don't want
to
do it.
Yeah.
That's why Christopher Nolan...
Oh, the studio tried to push it?
Christian Bale. The studio tried pushing it. Christian Bale and... what's his name? The actor. I forgot his name. Who? Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Yeah, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. They had very opposite scenes in the movie. So he's like, can we do something with this? Like, all right, as long as he's Robin, but not near me. You know, he's not running next to me. He's like, come on, Boy Wonder.
Yeah.
You know, like. Little Batman Lego movie joke right there. So then at the end of the movie, what do we see? We see Selina Kyle at a table and Alfred sitting there and he's eating, having like his little retirement stuff. And then he sees Bruce and he just goes, huh? And he gives a nod, and that's the end of the series.
Yeah,
like beautiful series all along. A great ending. Alfred got his happy ending.
Uh-huh.
I thought they were going to kill him. Honestly, I thought Bane was going to kill him.
Can't kill Alfred. Alfred.
Yeah, so
you cannot.
Yeah,
I will not bury another member of the Wayne family.
Yeah,
exactly. That was very well done, sir.
And the scene where he's crying over his grave was so great. He's like, "I failed you, sir. I found you." You know, like, and he's talking to his dad. And he's like, So, yeah. Give me all what you thought about the whole entire series.
My God. I thought it was amazing. I thought, obviously, Joker was legendary. Bane is one of my favorite characters of all time. The stories were great. The aspect of Batman was amazing. The relationships were amazing. Yep. I loved it. Loved it.
Yeah. Probably one of the best trilogies of all time.
It's one of those few trilogies where everything just keeps getting better.
Aside from original Star Wars trilogy, probably second best trilogy of all time.
I agree.
All time. Yeah. Like, I mean, the Batman, original Batman, George Schumacher and Tim Burton ones, they're good to me because I feel like they were made for kids.
Yeah.
This was made for kids that grew into adults.
Yep.
That's the best way of describing it for
me. If you were a kid to watch Batman 89, you grew with this.
Exactly.
This is yours.
And this was awesome because, again, it brought in the viral element of the Dark Knight, which kind of solidified it. People did follow it to an extent. I still think I have this. Oh, no, I definitely lost that in Sandy. The cell phone that came out with it because they sent you like a cell phone or something like
they
that.
They sent you a cell phone?
Yeah, they sent you like a little BS cell phone thing. I don't know if it was a toy or whatever, but I just don't recall. But I remember getting that thing, and I was like, oh, wow, this is crazy.
It's like Nokia.
Maybe. I don't remember.
Might have been in 08.
Yeah, because I couldn't take pictures back then. There was no videos back then.
No. Video phones you can get pictures. You're just going to take them.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that wraps up the Dark Knight series here on the Nerd Badge podcast. So, next episode, it may be a while because it's we're going to do the season finale of Comic-Con. I know. And I hope you're going to be there.
Yeah. Not on Thursday. I'm going to be there Sunday.
Okay, good. Because we and the wife. Hi, Gabby. Wave to Gabby. Everyone wave to Gabby.
Everybody to
Gabby. Gabby's going to be there. We're going on Thursday. I got my costumes, and I'm working on a costume right now.
What are they? Or can you not tell? Or
I can tell.
Okay,
one of them, I'm going as Mr. Satan from Dragon Ball Z.
Oh!
Yeah, I'm going to put the mustache down and everything like that. The
world's champion.
Hey there.
I defeated Cell.
I love doing that voice, too.
It's a little bit of Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly what it is. Like, let me tell you something here, Sal. I'm going to sit there. We're going to do what Hercule Mania runs wild over you.
Because he is a champion.
You know, I'm the champion of the world. So anyway, I'm going to do that. I'm still trying to squeeze out this Vegeta. I don't know if I'm going to be able to, but I decided to do one other costume.
Is it Vegeta with the mustache from GT?
No, I did that already.
Remember he had a mustache like 2 years ago.
I did that with the pink shirt and everything.
Oh,
I did that.
The Batman one.
Yeah, the Batman one. Yeah, yeah. I actually had found shoes that were green, put red laces. I was freaking amazing. But the next one I'm going to do, I don't want to say yet because
is it a Viltrumite?
No. This is a good costume. We were just talking about it the other day. I got to order some stuff. I hope I can get it in time to kind of like put it together. But I think this is going to beat Mega Man.
What is the Mega Man
costume I did?
I remember you used the Bumblebee gun to make the Mega Buster. Yeah. I remember that.
This is going to hands down beat Mega Man.
So what is it?
I can't tell you.
Oh damn it! Is it from a video game?
Kind of.
Oh, kind of. Oh.
This person is in a video game that they make of it. So, yeah, we'll see. But, yeah, so, ladies and gentlemen, for Susie, for Atiba, this is me signing off. Ladies and gentlemen, number 19 is in the hole. We did it!
Yes.
Woo!
Done! Get me out of here! We did it!
Batman!
The episode is complete!
Sometimes being a hero means putting your coat on a little bit. Let them know the world has ended.
Sometimes you live yourself long enough to start a podcast. Sometimes you live... You die a man who doesn't have a podcast. I don't know. Dad, going home. Get some food. We're going to the freaking op shop. Yeah! And we're done.